And we do this not because it's something that we have to do on a Sunday morning, but because we're talking about what we believe in. We're talking about the fundamental values that God wants to bring into our lives and make a difference. It's really important what you believe. And I think what Sylvia asked us to do was just think about, well, what do you actually believe in? Because we can believe all kinds of things. We can believe all kinds of things about God. And that's why we have his word that directs us to his heart and his purpose for our lives. It directs us to understanding what we've celebrated this morning, which is the Last Supper, if you like, the breaking of bread. We need to know what we believe. Some people believe that the earth is flat. Some people believe that men never landed on the moon. Some people believe in all kinds of gods. And what we believe in determines the way that we live our lives because it impacts on who we are. So it's really important to understand what we believe. And as church, it's important that we know what we believe about God, what we believe about his message to us, and what we understand about outliving that through our daily lives. I want to bring a message this morning that I've called it, We've Been Set Free. And I don't know whether you believe you've been set free or not, but I want to just talk us through what that means. What have we been set free from? And what are we in place to receive? I want to talk about probably the greatest power on earth at the moment, which is the power of sin. And I want to remind you this morning that you've been set free from that power and what that means for us as believers. So I want to read from Romans chapter 7. Now, you're going to get the NIV up here. Some of my, I think my scriptures that I'm going to read aren't NIV, but you'll follow me on the screen behind. So, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin that is living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but is sin living in me that does it. It's quite a wordy piece of scripture, that. But it's Paul reminding us that we face this battle of sin. We all face it. The Bible tells us that we are born into sin, that we are slaves to sin, but as believers we have been set free from it. I don't know about you, but there's lots of things that I think I should do and I want to do, but I don't do them, which is what Paul's saying. We all have good intentions, but somehow we are unable to carry out our good intentions, and there's stuff in us that we do and we don't want to do, and it's almost like we have no power over it. We are overwhelmed by this fire, this power that drives us to sin. And my message this morning is a reminder that as believers, we have been set free from this power of sin. Paul, there's a reference there to, I am a slave to sin. A slave to sin. That's how we are born. We are born slaves to sin. We have no rights, no power, and must be obedient to our master. That's what a slave is. It's a no-option lifestyle. You've got to do exactly what you're told. And in our humanity, we take up this position that sin is our master, and it drives our behaviours, it drives our thoughts, it drives our attitudes, and we do things that we don't want to do. It grips our lives. And it's a powerful, powerful force. Often we think sin is the doing something wrong. That's the result of sin. Sin is actually the power that drives us to do that. So sin, quite simply, is a God-oppressing power that shapes our behaviour and we have no control over it. The power of sin drives us to do things that we don't want to do, that is, committing sinful acts. For our world, I believe sin, or the power of sin, is the number one issue. It separates us, the world, from the heart of God, and we see evidence of it everywhere we go, on whatever TV channel we watch, whatever car we're driving, whatever supermarket we go into, whatever street we are walking down, we see the evidence of the power of sin. As a world, we can underplay its power. Some people will deny that there is such a thing as this power. We can dismiss it as religious control, the church telling people what they can and can't do. And historically, it was used by the church to bring a fear of excommunication, because the church was the hub of the community. And if you were excommunicated, you were outside of that care group, if you like. And so the church was in a powerful position. It would determine what is sin and what is not sin. We can see our behaviours as just the human condition. It's just the way we are. But the reality is that Satan, that is the power of sin, is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's good at it, isn't he? He's really good at it. And we see evidence of that, as I said, everywhere we go. When sin is at work in us, it brings a heavy weight to our lives, creating fear, failure, poor self-image, hopelessness. We have no hope, no future, and we can live in condemnation, often blaming God for our circumstances when this power is working in us, because we cannot overcome it. In the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, which is a journey of a man that's the main character, Christian, who knows he's got this burden on his back. He's carrying this weight, and it's heavy, and it's getting him down. And his mission throughout the book is to be rid of this weight. He was aware he was carrying this weight. And we'll talk a little bit later about some of the results of his journey. Jesus came to set us free from sin by giving us his life. We celebrated that this morning, that he came, he died, he rose again. He overcame the power of sin and the power of death in our lives. It's a grace gift from God. What that means is that in reality, we don't deserve this gift. We didn't deserve the gift of Jesus, but he gave it to us because he loved us. But we can only receive this gift if we recognize our need for forgiveness. We can be proud about being a sinner, saying, I don't need God. Even though I know there's stuff going on in my life, I don't need him. We have that option as free agents. We can reject the power of God in our lives. But if we want to live in this freedom that we're talking about, there's got to be a moment where we recognize through personal revelation that we stand before God as a sinner with this weight on our back that is driving our lives, and we ask forgiveness. At that moment, our sin is forgiven. Sin is the reason Jesus came and gave his life for us. Sin is the issue on this earth. We all want to be happy. We all want to feel loved. We all want to be successful. And we all want to progress in life. But Jesus didn't come for that. He came to forgive sin. He came to forgive sin in each of our lives, so he could then begin to bring his peace and his love and his hope and his forgiveness and his joy and his freedom into our lives. That's why he came. He came to deal with the core issue that we as a world and us as individuals face, that is the power of sin in our lives. When he does that, we have a new power living in us, and it transforms who we are. What an amazing gift we have. Romans 7:24-8, verse 3. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So now there is no condemnation for those living in Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies that we have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sin. The law of Moses was given to the children of Israel, going, if you live by these, you'll be okay. But they couldn't. They couldn't because of our sinful nature. We couldn't obey the law of God. And so God had to send his son Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin. Our sacrifice that paid the price for our sin. Jesus' sole mission was to defeat the power of sin and death. And he did. But we've got to believe it. We've got to believe that he did that. Jesus is therefore the only person qualified who has ever lived to offer freedom from sin. Why? Because he has taken that power away from the enemy. He's taken it out of the hands of Satan. And he reminds us that he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He is the access to forgiveness of sin and having power over sin in our lives. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The moment Adam and Eve fell from grace, the moment they sinned, is that the moment humanity gave authority to the dark powers in the heavenly realms. And from that moment on, they have dominated our world. They have driven people to all kinds of just inexplicable acts. You just have to look back in history and you can see the destruction that man has brought upon this earth because it has no control over the power of sin. The purpose of these authorities is to wreak havoc and destruction to our world, and they do. The havoc of the power of sin is displayed externally. So we can look and see it. We can see what's happening through our world. But it's also internal. It drives our behavior. It sets our values, our attitudes, our emotions, and the personal burdens that we carry around with us are all a result of sin living in us. In Pilgrim's Progress, we see that many people Christian try to engage with to find a solution to his heavy burden. And we can look to all kinds of sources to deal with the stuff that's going on in our lives. We can look to politicians. We can look to the NHS. We can look to friends and family. But ultimately, nobody can set us free from the power of sin other than Jesus Christ. And in Pilgrim's Progress, it's not until he comes to a place called deliverance where he encounters the cross that his burden fell off. my chains fell off. My heart was free. That moment when we recognized the overcoming power and love of Jesus Christ, our burden falls off. I believe that those who are seeking an answer to the problem of sin find freedom as they encounter Jesus Christ. They are delivered from sin by the only one who has the authority over it. Once we've met with Jesus and accepted his deliverance, we're free from the sin and the condemnation that it brings. We are born again and have become new creations. The old that has dominated us has gone. The new things that have been recreated are coming to us through Jesus Christ as God lives in our heart. Interestingly, shortly after Christian's deliverance, he says he met a hideous friend called Apollyon. And he tried to discourage him by reminding him of the sins of his past. And how often we can live as believers, but we have this friend who's all the time trying to remind us of the things we've done, of our past, of the sin that we have committed. Christian's only defense was to re-declare that he had been pardoned by Christ and had overcome the temptation to fall back into the clutches of sin. There's two messages that I want to conclude with this morning. Firstly, we're all sinners. We have no power over sin. It's part of our human nature. And we need to seek deliverance from the one who defeated the power of sin. We must acknowledge the sin in our hearts and in our lives and our need to be set free through Jesus Christ. That's if we want to be set free from this power that is driving us. Sometimes we can have a problem, but we can't recognize it. I don't know whether you've ever had a problem and you don't know about it. But if you're married, you'll know because your wife or your husband will tell you. You keep doing this, or you keep doing that. You go, oh, I didn't realize. And sometimes we can carry sin in our lives and not even realize we are doing it. And we need help from the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to recognize the truth of his love and his power in us. And I don't know about you, but that moment when we came to faith, that moment when we really understood that we needed God in our lives, is critical for our sin to be forgiven. Have you ever done this? Have you ever acknowledged in your heart that Jesus is the one you need to set you free, that you need his forgiveness, that if you want to live in the freedom of all that he has for you, you've got to invite him into your heart so he can overcome the power of sin and begin to set you free from the stuff that sin brings to us? That's message number one. Message number two. There may be those of us here today who are Christians, but for whatever reason, I've been deceived and you are living under the power of sin. We can soon forget who we are in God if we're not focused, if we're not living by faith day by day. See, the enemy is a great deceiver. It's one of his names. He's a deceiver, and he can deceive us into thinking that we are not the person that God wants us to be. That we will never be that person. That God doesn't really love me as much as he loves everybody else. That all the sin that I'm carrying around, how could he possibly forgive all of that? How could he set me free from this stuff? But you don't have to live like this because he's overcome the power of sin in your life. You need to declare that you have been pardoned and set free from the power of sin. It has no authority in a believer's life. Unless we give it authority. You've been set free. You've been pardoned. We just simply have to believe it and declare it. Colossians 1:13 to 14 says this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. quite self-explanatory. We have the forgiveness of sin living in our lives. In Christ, all sins are cancelled. The Bible tells us that he remembers our sin no more. But sometimes we do. And we need God's help to put it to one side. The enemy will seek to deceive us into thinking that our sin can't be forgiven. But we are reminded there that all our sin has been forgiven. We have been set free. When we trust Jesus, we know that we're coming to a God with all authority, the victor of a sin that cannot defeat him. And this is the authority that Christ carries. In Colossians it says this, "And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He, Christ, is the head over every power and authority." Ephesians 1:21, far above, that's Jesus, is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And 1 Peter says this, who has gone into heaven, that Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. As believers, we have been given an authority in our lives over sin. Not because of anything we've done, but because of all that Christ has done for us through the cross. We've been given weapons, spiritual weapons, to fight the sin that always is trying to invade us. We've been given a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've got to use them. We've got to use them. When we come under spiritual attack, when we are tempted, we've got to use the weapons that God has given to him, to us. We're going to a God who has authority to forgive and operates in love and grace with no condemnation. Whatever we imagine sin to be, in all of its power and destruction, the heart of God is exactly the opposite. And that's what he wants to bring into our hearts. He wants to set us free from this power. But it's a faith existence, this. We've got to use our faith day by day. We've got to walk in faith daily. We've got to come to understand what we believe in as far as our sin and the forgiveness of sin in our lives, the authority and power that Jesus has over sin. We've got to live in that. We've got to believe that what we've done this morning in celebrating his death and his resurrection is the truth. And the truth sets us free. And as believers, we are free this morning from the power of sin. I just want to pray for us right now. If you are living in that place, let God do something in your heart. We believe that God wants always to be speaking into our lives, that he wants us to have an encounter with him that sets us free from this power that is driving humanity. But as believers, we've been set free from all that, and we have an authority over it in our lives. We can submit that authority, but this morning, let's be determined to add faith to our Christian walk. Let's just pray together. I don't know whether there's anybody here that has never given their life to Christ, who's never had that opportunity to say, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that there is sin in my life, and I want you to forgive me. I want you to set me free from this power that is dominating who I am, that is driving me into behaviors that I can't control. Maybe that's you this morning. If it is, just raise your hand. Or maybe as a believer, you've allowed the enemy in, that you've been deceived, that there are thoughts and behaviors and attitudes that are driving you and you don't seem to be able to control them, but you can. If we trust, put our trust, our faith in all that God is. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you give us something to believe in that actually defeats the power of sin in this world. And this morning, just as we have spent a few moments in your presence, I pray for anybody in this room, Lord, that is struggling with the power of sin, that they will have that revelation of your power and authority living in their lives, and they have been set free. I pray that you will give them wisdom in the way they view all the thoughts that are coming into their minds. Lord, that they will use the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Help us in our walk with you. May we live free lives. Amen.
Thank you.